Now they're all staring at each other. Who's going for it? Oh no. Hang on. They're all closing their eyes. Yes, you are. They're closing their eyes so they don't know who's doing what, okay? And if you don't want to do it audibly, then just bless her silently. That's fine too. And if you had a picture for Zoe, then tell her afterwards, or if you have a word from the Lord, tell Zoe afterwards.
Can I just point out what a kind youth worker I am? I don't put you on the spot like that, but perhaps I should.
Yeah,
maybe that's God's plan.
I'm not a kind youth worker. Thank you. Well done, guys. By the way, you just said that was all staged. She wrote a script. I thought that was all natural. Anyway, thank you, guys. Go and sit down. Thank you. A bit of both.
Thank you.
Yeah, that wasn't part of plan. As Zoe was praying for me, and she says, thank you, Lord, for Eric and all the preparation that he's done. I was thinking, yes, that's great. And whilst I was sitting there, and I just felt, and it was the same in the first service. I've got a PowerPoint, and I think it's fantastic, and the sermon is fantastic. And then God kind of says, yeah, but that's not for them. That's for you. And that's the same with his second service. When Zoe revealed the flip chart, I just go, flip chart? Because that's what youth workers do, you know. We've got shares in post-its and in flip charts. So I'm just going to steal one of your sheets. See, she didn't really write anything down, did she? Right, if I take that sheet there. Let me start with a story, okay? And the story is about a very, very rich man. I don't know how he got his wealth. Probably played the lottery or something like that, won loads of money, maybe he inherited it. Doesn't really matter how he got it. But he looked around and he thought, I need to invest this money. And some of you already know where this is going. He looked into property and he thought, it's a bit static. I don't really fancy holidays. I've done that all and I've already got lots of other houses. So he started looking at buying a yacht. And they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Some come with sails and others come without sails. This one doesn't want to have a sail, but it should have one. And he looked at the motorized ones and he thought, whoa, I like a motorized one because then you're not relying on the wind. So he looked at those and then he looked at the price and the budgets and he thought, actually, motors make a lot of noise and a bit of pollution. So what I'll do is I'll go for one that has got a sail on it. I'm getting there, honestly. So he bought himself a packet of crisps. No. He bought himself a lovely, lovely, just imagine it's lovely, a lovely boat. And of course he thought, you know what? That's it. He sold everything he had and he went on the deck and he sat down and he went on holiday where the sun was. The sun is roughly over here, sunny bunch over here. So he went to where the sun was and he laid on his deck and he slept on some suntan lotion and he thought, this is the life. I have arrived. And then, of course, wherever you go, the sun doesn't always shine, does it? I come from the Sunshine Coast, apparently, but it wasn't there this morning, I can tell you that. So all of you at the front row, you're going to be my wind, the storm. That's it. Okay, what's your name?
Naya.
If everybody follows Naya, it's going to be quite a storm. All right, so when I say storm, when I say storm, don't be too eager. Anyway, he was laying on his deck and the sun was shining and suddenly a few clouds appeared and he said, that's okay, I'm still on holiday. And then suddenly a storm came. Whoa. And the storm was so fierce that his boat actually broke. But What was this man? Rich. Well listened. So he fixed his boat. And he thought, you know what? If the sun is not here, if this is stormy weather, see you guys. I'm off. I'm going to this lovely lady over here where it's lovely and sunny. Look at her face. Sunny face. So he lays on deck again, slaps the suntan lotion. This is the life. I have made it. Wow. I've got my boat. I've got the sun. What else do I need? And then as if the weather knew that he moved this way, it came back over. And he hadn't learned because he thought, oh, it's just a few little clouds. But the storms came and ruined the rest of his boat. But what was this man?
Rich.
Filthily rich. Fixed it. And this is where he was clever. Because he bought a sailboat. Didn't he? He went for one with sails. So he's got sails. So he can still go. What do you need for sails? Okay, go on then. Oh, lovely. Nice and slow. And a bit more. And a bit more. And one last big puff. Whoa, that was way too big. You ruined it now. Because even now his mast and his sails broke. And you know what? This man was rich. He had everything that he ever wanted. But all they found of this man was his shirt. That was the only thing that was left of that man. He was now somewhere in the sea, surrounded by water, but it's salt water. Anybody ever tried to drink salt water?
I've drunk it before.
You've drunk it before? Make my throat really
Make
your throat really, really hurt, and you wanted more, didn't you? You're thirsty, aren't you, when you drink a bit of salt water, and then you want to drink even more. And actually, it's very dangerous because you just get drier and drier. It's a little bit like the video clip that I'm going to show you now. Have a look at this guy. This guy is on an island, surrounded by water, and yet he can't drink any of the water. So he had to find water in another way. Okay, next slide, please. This man did all that work, all that hard work to just get that drop because he just, in the end, he got it open, but it spilled and it was gone. And he still could not quench his thirst. When you're really thirsty and you want to drink something, how thirsty are you? Is my question to you this morning. Are you as thirsty as this guy? Would you? Yes. Would you go to the same length as he does? Try everything and everything just to get that one drop of water. That is how desperate he was. And sometimes the Bible just, we had the reading. Well done, Chris, for stepping in last second and reading that fantastically. Well done. Psalm 63, it says, O God, you are my God. I seek you and my soul thirsts for you like in a dry and weary land. Who ever been to a desert? One or two. Well done. Which desert was it? Yeah. In Australia, that's just one big desert, isn't it? One big desert surrounded by salt water. So, yeah, wherever you go, You can't drink it. In the desert, you can't drink. The salt water, you can't drink. Yeah, that's a great... I should have thought about that example. So, you're in the desert. Okay, you're in the desert. In your 4x4, you're going on holiday. And you think, this is the life. Sand dunes over it, lovely. And then suddenly you forgot it's a desert. They don't have petrol stations. And you run out of petrol. And the car just goes... And the car stops. And you're in the middle of a desert. Now what do? Well, you wait for the next people to come around who are sightseeing, maybe. But it lasts for a day and it lasts for 2 days and nobody comes. And you need to start looking after yourself. You need to start thinking, how can I stay in the shade when there is no shade? No palm trees, no nothing, just sunshine and sand. And then you realize, actually, if I dig a hole underneath the van, I can stay underneath the van. And then I can just stay in the shade until the next one comes along, and then I just do something to attract their attention. So you start digging and you lay underneath your van. Oh, lovely shade. Lovely shady area. And you actually get comfortable and you do a little bit of a snooze, and then you don't get comfortable, and then you try to get up and you forget you're under a car, so you bang your head. And then suddenly in the corner of your eye, you spot one of the pipes underneath the car is dripping. Now that is good, because I am so thirsty. So you go and you're about to drink from that pipe, not knowing really what comes out of that pipe, but you're so desperate that you think, I can drink that. Hopefully there is somebody there stopping you, because your thirst has become very dangerous, that you would drink just about everything. And you know what? God has made us, hasn't he? Who believes God made them? Yeah, that's more than my previous question. That's good. We're improving. God is at work. That's great. So we believe that God made us. Now, we are, according to scientists, about 70% or slightly more percent of us is water. So this is just one big water sack. A talking water sack stands before you. Nice. But that means we are easily dehydrated because we're made that way. And God has built into us this thing called thirst. When we get dehydrated, we are thirsty, therefore we want to quench our thirst. The more I talk, the thirstier I get, the more I want to drink something. The more you sing, the more you dry out, the more you want to drink. The more you do sports day. Who had sports day here recently? Yes, it's end of term, isn't it? So we've got sports days coming up. Yes. Did you win anything?
Yes.
Well, I wasn't expecting that. What did you win?
I won the relay race.
Relay race. Join first. Give me a high five, mate. Oh, God, could have warned me. Brilliant, brilliant. So that's part of a team as well. What did you win?
I won triple jump.
Hello, there's a whole list coming here.
I won this.
Triple jump.
And discus.
And discus. That's one of those frisbee things that you just... Yeah, lob. What's that? You won those. Oh, you've got some talented people here. Hang on. Did you just say long jump?
Yeah.
Come on the stage. Has anybody seen the size of this girl? Look. How can she win a long jump? I should be winning the long jump. Give me five. Well done. Come on, sit down. It's great. But I bet you it was very thirsty work, wasn't it? Because it must have been a hot day. No.
It was burning.
And I bet if you ask any sportsman out there in this particular weather, this time... Oh, sorry, there's another hand up. What did you win? The running race. You're a good runner. Well done. High five from over there. Yes, thank you. Oh, you're coming here. That's okay. That's fine. Ah, you started something. Oh. Is there a first aider in the house? But on days like this, it's very thirsty work. If you look at Wimbledon, very thirsty work. Every time they have served and they win their rally, they sit down and what do? They get the banana out and the banana goes whoom, like that. And then also they get their juice out and they go little zips. And then they play again and then they sit down again and then more zips. Because they will always be thirsty. Thirsty happens to all of us. And the Bible says that the psalmist says, I long for God. I want to get to know God. I want to be part of God so much that that's where my thirst is. How about you? Maybe you're thirsty to win more races. Maybe you're thirsty to become a lawyer. Maybe you're thirsty to get settled down in life. Maybe you're thirsty to be like this rich man, but with slightly better navigation skills. Maybe you have, and you fill in the blank, you're on a trajectory to fulfill your thirst that you've got for something in life. You want to make something of yourself. But please, can I urge you, everybody here, not to forget about your spiritual thirst. How do I quench that? Well, it's very clearly here. I long for you. The opening phrase says, oh God, you are my God. And if you can echo that this morning, then you could leave right now in a sense, because if he is your God, then that's all you need. But what about those who don't know that, who cannot echo, you are my God? Maybe you've got family members, maybe you've got friends at school who are not Christians, who maybe laugh at you when you come to kids club and youth club. We need to start praying for them so that they also feel that thirst. Because, oh my, if I look at the world, especially for the young people, if I look at your world, man, I'm scared. Because they offer you all sorts of poison, like the rusty pipe at the bottom of that van. And they say, yeah, drink it. Come on, drink it. It's okay. And maybe you get tempted, and maybe you give in to the temptation, but there's always a way back. Go back to this phrase that actually, no, I know that God is my God. And that's enough. That's where I go to quench my thirst. Quench is a big word. Great for Scrabble. It's got Q in it. And it basically means that you will be happy with drinking something. But just as on sports day, just as in the tennis, just as 4 o'clock today when Holland is going to beat the USA. Yeah. I'm Dutch, by the way, just in case you didn't get it. We're going to get thrashed. I know, we're going to get thrashed. But they will be very, very thirsty. And in halftime, they will be happy for the referee to blow that whistle, and they can go into the dressing room and just go to the tap and go, oh, drink. Drink as much as they can before they have to do the second half, and hopefully no extra time. So how about you? Where are you in this race called life? How thirsty have you become? Because, listen, doing life is thirsty work. Doing life does not come easily. And if you read the rest of the psalm, which we've had read to us, it actually says in verse 9, they who seek my life will be destroyed. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down in the depths. So there are people that are after your life. There are people that are after your lives. That could be your friends. That could be society. It could be the latest craze that tries to suck you in so that you don't have time for God. Oh no, I want to play Fortnite. Want to play Fortnite, mate? I'm at a good level here. I don't want to do youth. I don't want to go to youth. I don't want to go to church. Or your mother or your father shouts, dinner time! Just one more second! How long are these seconds? Has time changed when you're a teenager? Suddenly a second is like an hour. You just want to beat the next guy. You're almost such a good level. Oh, mom! I love the advert for Sky. I haven't got Sky, but I love the advert because apparently Sky claims you can pause the internet. Yeah, I never knew that. I never knew that. But I bet my son wouldn't like it if I did. If I paused there and he was mid-shooting some high-ranking somebody. So where are we? Do we go and get our thirst quenched? We will have struggle. We will have all this going on in our lives. Other things vying for the attention of God, be it computer games, be it the latest craze, be it maybe even your homework. You know what? God still comes first. Relationships. Some of you older teens, you will no doubt enter that lovely stage of relationships. Good with that. Yeah, good luck with that. We will be praying for you. It's a great time, and yet it's a dangerous time. That's where thirst can be very dangerous. Thirsting for the right partner in life could actually lead you to do things that you shouldn't be doing in a relationship, because it's not in the right context. See, thirst is great, but quenching it, you need to know where to go to do it correctly. God has made you so that He knows the answers to your thirst. And I find that amazing. Every time I think about my life and I think about how He quenches our thirst. I've got two children. Well, they're not children anymore. One is 20-something and the other one is 20-something. And our son, our daughter has moved out of house. She lives in Reading now and she runs a theatre there. And our son doesn't really know what to do with his life. Maybe because he's a boy, he's a bit slower in these things, he's developing. But he decided, I don't want to go to university because I don't know what to study. And I thought, that's wisdom. He doesn't want to rack up 42,000 of debt for what? So he now works in Tesco's, great, because we get great discounts. There are other supermarkets available, by the way. But he works in Tesco's, and he, a couple of years ago, decided not to come to church anymore. And sometimes I struggle. That's where Satan gets to Eric. And he says, you call yourself a youth worker, family worker, responsible for youth. Your own son is not even part of the kingdom. And it hurts. It really hurts. That is a thirst I cannot quench, to see my son come back to the kingdom. He knows because he's grown up with us. And the other day we sit around as much as we can around the dinner table still, and he sat round and he invited a mate over, Curtis, and Curtis came round and Curtis said these words: I love being in your house because there is peace. And I thought, I need to develop this. I need to speak to Curtis. So Thomas did the washing up. Our son Thomas, he did the washing up. And I sat down with Curtis. And I said, Curtis, what's happening in your house that makes my house a house of peace? Because it's not that peaceful in my house. I've got a dog. And he says, you just get on with each other. You sit around a dinner table. He says, and when I walk in, I just feel peace. And when Curtis left, Thomas came home and he says, when I dropped Curtis back off home, he said, thank you, Mum and Dad, for the peace they gave me. See, Thomas knows where to come to quench the thirst of his mate. He comes to a house of peace. And we had it the other day where we have this dice. I don't know whether you've seen it. It's a dice with 6 prayers on them. And we use it at dinner time, so that our son, who doesn't want to have anything to do with church, will still pray. We just say, roll the dice, Thomas. So we have that, and the same Curtis, he came around again, and he said them. So I said, oh, before we start dinner, let's pray. And Curtis says, oh, can Thomas roll his dice? So his son, his friend now knows how we operate in our house. Does that take away the pain that my son is not in the kingdom? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Does that stop Satan attacking me on that particular front? No, it doesn't. But I know where I can go quench my thirst. I know where I can go, and I have still got to proclaim with the psalmist that you are my God, and therefore you will come through for my son as well, our son as well. And that's the same with our youngsters. And like I said from the beginning of the service, I think you all are fantastic. The way that you come up here, the way you worship, the way you sing, you've got your youngsters doing the band as well. So there is a future, there is hope. But as people say at Victoria, Eric, you're doing a great job. And that's nothing to do with me. That's all by the grace of God. I've been there 2 years. And I took over, which was a painful situation for Victoria. And there weren't that many youngsters. And now we've got about 42 on a Sunday morning. And that's the 11 to 15-year-olds, which I'm responsible for. And somebody said, Eric, you're amazing. That is so great. I said, can I just point out to you one thing? Feel free. I said, do you know what's on the other side of our road? I don't know whether you've been to Victoria. We've got a secondary school with over 1,000 students, and I know 6 of them. See, my job is huge. Our job is huge. And of those 6, 3 actually come to our church out of over 1,000. See, sometimes we pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, look at all these youngsters, and we're growing. And so he rightfully says, man, I've got up to 70 people. And that's great, but let that not be the end of the story. Let that not be the end for this area. Are you in Bex Hill or are you in Sinland? What's this? Bex Hill. This area. Okay? That's not the end. We need to keep at it. We need to keep at it. And we need to keep at it. Why? Because there's thirsty people out there. There's thirsty people out there that will look anywhere to get it quenched. Okay? So we need to support the whole team. Whatever the future holds for Beulah and the youth work and the children's work here, believe that God is your God. He is the God of Beulah Baptist. He will provide you with a future for your youth and children's work. He will provide you guys with a future as well. Sorry, what's your name again?
Jacob.
He will also provide you with even more wins. All right? Yes. Oh, is that what we do? Oh, that's a funny story. Thank you, Jacob. With that, I will finish. Last year, that was the in thing. You dabbed. Okay? So I took my oldest youth group, so that's 16 plus, to a local ice cream parlor. And I said, order whatever you like. Big mistake, by the way. Big mistake. Man, the bill was huge. Anyway, they're worth it. So they all took it into their ice cream. And then one guy says something. And I find that so funny what he says. So I'm just sitting there going like that. All five of them turn around. Eric, please don't ever do that again. I think I'm a cool youth worker, but apparently I'm not when I do things like that. But what I do know is that I'm a godly youth worker. So I don't mind having that sort of fun with them. I don't mind if they tell me off or whether they like what I do or not, because I still bring them this. And I'm going to finish with the story that I used in the first service as well. It's about Soul Survivor. Once you're old enough, you can't go because they're stopping you. Yeah, sorry about that, but there will be a replacement. There will be something else coming in its place. It's a Christian youth festival. And as I said, I've been in this job 2 years, so I've done Soul Survivor twice. The first year I went for a couple of days just as an introduction. Last year I went with the whole team. I hated it. I did not like it. 8,000 hormonal teenagers in a field. And then in the evening and in the morning they do this thing called worship. Right? So you're in there, in a building with 8,000 of you, by the way. And they say, so you sit cross-legged. Well, that gives me backache. I'm sitting there cross-legged. And then they say, let's stand up like you do here. Stand up and sing this song. And they sing these Rent Collective songs that we sang this morning. Lighthouse and all that stuff. So we're all standing up. And you're standing like this because there is no space. So you're standing like this. And then suddenly this happens. Now, this body doesn't like dancing, but you haven't got a choice. They take you with them, the whole group. And the second day in, I think, oh man, I can't carry more of this. And it goes on for about a week. And I'm just thinking, Lord, you need to do something. And then on the middle day, so it would have been Monday, once again, sitting cross-legged, thinking, here we go again, through the motions, whoa, yeah. Then this happened. After I said to God, you need to do something. I looked to my right. And a boy that I've taken for the very first time to his very first Soul Survivor. And I look to my right and I look in his face. And he's aglow. His face shines with the glory of God. Because he knows how to worship and I didn't. He knew something about worshiping in spirit and truth that I had no notion of. Does that mean I'm looking forward to this August? No, I'm not. But I'm looking forward to having George with me again and see George worshiping the way that I probably should worship too. And I can learn from my young people. And I was ashamed, and I had, after we went back to Eastbourne, and I phoned George and I said, we need to talk. And we had a great conversation, and he's now a great guy in our boys' brigade. And suddenly God showed to me the music element of George. And I bought an MP3 player that's, for those of you who are a bit older, you used to have cassette tapes. This is the modern version of it. So I downloaded, I got some music from the internet, and I put it on the MP3 player. It was about 8-9 hours worth. And I gave it to George. I said, here's some songs that you will like. And these are loud songs, right? These are crazy worship songs that, yeah, okay. Anyway, he listened to them. A week later, he says, Eric, really love those. He says, brings me peace in times of exams. What, that load? Okay, fine. Whatever. And then he says this. He says, can I have another one? He says, my mate at school, I shared my headphones with my mate, and he loved this particular song. They're all worship songs. And this mate is not Christian. And I said, listen, there's more where that came from. I started downloading stuff, and I put it on another MP3 player. Comes back again. He says, can I have another four, please? George has handed out five, basically, little digital things with worship on it to friends who are not even Christians. Two of them are coming to Soul Survivor with us. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. That's nothing to do with me, because, like I said, I didn't like that. I didn't like that experience at all. To be fair, I also didn't like God telling me. I didn't like God telling me either. So listen to God and see where you are thirsting. He is the quencher. Can I skip through to the last slide? I think it's the last one. Let's forget all the rest. It's time. No, not that one, the one before. Yeah, that one. Because I think quenching my thirst is having a glass of water. Can't believe you still allow plastic cups, by the way. Dolphins. Anyway, sorry. I thought quenching was just doing that sort of thing. One at a time, just a little bit. But you know what? I'm beyond that. When I saw George worshipping, I want that. I want that experience. I want the water hose to open itself up from heaven, and I want to be drenched by God. I want to just stand there and say, God, quench my thirst. Why? So that I'm no longer dry. And when people meet me, they say, oh, it's that dry Christian again. Because there are some dry Christians. Listen, that wound set the world on fire. Because the world is thirsty. So you guys, go back to your schools and do the best you can to talk about Jesus. If you are in the workplace, go back to your workplace on Monday, or if you've got holiday later. But please gossip the gospel. Because there are people out there thirsty. And it's our task to point them to the one who's the living water. That's what our task is. Like I had to do with George. Like I have to do with other people in the youth group. Yes, some of them are an absolute pain in the wotsie. But that means they're even thirstier. I was one of those. Ask my Sunday school teacher. No, she's not alive anymore. But yeah, no. We need to pray for our young people. We need to uplift the whole education system that they're part of. Because so often we focus on our church. I see them 2 hours a week, 3 hours a week at max. The school has got them far longer. They've got a greater influence almost on our youngest than I have as a parent. That's dangerous, guys. Pray for the education system that these guys are growing up in. Pray for parents. Put parents together. We just started, and I've got to go back to Eastbourne this afternoon because we're having a parenting support group. This is the second one we will ever have done in that church. And the first one, we were weeping together as parents for our youngsters. And we want to encourage one another, like Scripture says, encourage one another into good deeds, as indeed you are already doing. Because we're thirsty. We're thirsty parents. And we can quench each other's thirst with Christ in the midst of us. Where two or three are gathered, Christ is there as well. The life-giving, living water. So do me together as other parents. Don't say you have to do it on your own. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to be thirsty. It's a natural thing. That's how we were wired. Let's pray. Father, we want to pray for one another. We want to thank you that you are here in our midst. Want to echo our prayers with the ones of the young people over Zoe. Lord, honor her for all that she's given. Honor Beulah Baptist as a church for allowing Zoe the freedom that she has. Honor the parents who bring their youngsters faithfully to youth groups, to kids clubs, to Sunday school, to church. Father, open our minds and make us bold enough to say, yes, I am thirsty. That we might admit it, that we are thirsty. that we will run to you, the source of living water. That we will come to you to quench our thirst and not drink anything that could be dangerous or even poisonous. I want to pray our protection over our young people, especially those who are still part of education systems, where they hear all sorts of things that contravene your word. Father, we pray for their protection of their hearts, that they know where to go to quench their thirst. I want to pray for the older youth who are maybe getting into the area of relationships, Lord, that you will bless them, that you will bless them with godly spouses, godly girlfriends, boyfriends, that together they can seek you and how to quench the thirst that might arise. Father, you're an amazing God, and we love you. Lord, I pray for everybody here that we can echo the first verse of Psalm 63. You are my God. You are my God. And with that knowledge, we go into the week ahead and all that we're facing. For some of us, it's joy. For others, it's trepidation of maybe having doctor results, hospital visits. Father, go with us in the knowledge that indeed you are our God.
Amen.